This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We start with the Royals, who got swept by the Yankees in the Bronx. They're going to start a 4-game series tonight against the Detroit Tigers, trying to salvage this road trip that has only seen them find one win so far. Still have 4 to go. This is even a bigger series, one because it's the Detroit Tigers in division, but also, as we've discussed and we will continue to discuss, knowing where you're at, even though it's April 17th, and from a fan buy-in perspective, this feels like an awfully big series beginning tonight. The Royals will have Michael Lorenzen to start it off for game one tonight right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Next up on What's Trending, the Kansas City Star confirming something we discussed on the show yesterday, that the Royals are again looking at the possibility of a stadium site that would land in the North Kansas City area. That being down there in their downtown area. It used to be a bowling alley there, at least on one side. They could not confirm how deep those talks were, according to Kansas City Star, but that they've met with or talked to the family that owns all the land down there
Berriman
about
family,
what that would look like to explore that possibility again. I think this probably tells you something pretty obvious at this point, which is they feel like the chances of Jackson County aren't as good as they once were. And I told you yesterday when we talked about this, I still think this doesn't give them downtown baseball, but it gives them closer to downtown baseball and more the Wrigleyville thing that they had pitched originally. So I'm interested to follow this. This would obviously be in my backyard. Not quite, but I mean, it'd be pretty close to my house if they decided to do a stadium there. I just want to know where they're going.
And a lot of people, I think most people, are just sick of it and want some resolution. Perhaps we're closer to that. I remember when they, way back when they first, many years ago, when they first said, the Royals that is, hey, our plans for the future, they said in or around downtown.
Uh-huh.
Here's your around part, if in fact this is where they go. But I think way too early for anybody to say definitively this is where they're going. It's just that Clay County is once again in the picture, involved maybe strongly, and maybe you eventually have enough with Jackson County. I'm talking about mainly with knowing that something may not happen because of Frank White or whoever, and the inability to get something done.
I got to be honest. I think they got a better chance now than the first time they did the rendering for it.
Well, sure.
I think that they got a better shot now than the previous time we had discussed it. There is some people who want Frank White recalled to make the negotiation with the Royals more favorable in Jackson County. So God knows, man, we might be in for a wild couple of months of stadium news.
Elsewhere, we go to the NBA, the play-in tournament. It's been terrible. Let's just call it like it is. The Heat won 109-90 against the Bulls. The Mavericks got a 120-106 win against the Kings. Tonight, Heat, Hawks, Mavs, Grizzlies, it's been terrible. We always joked when people were bashing the NFL towards late in the year, the games weren't good. They were like, bad product, great marketing. Well, that's what the NBA play-in tournament is. Bad product, great marketing. It's been terrible. It sucks.
Well, when you let a bunch of teams in
the Grizzlies game was great. That went down to the wire.
I was told
every game has to be great. Otherwise, it's just good marketing. Yeah. I was told every game has to be great.
I will say, this is part of the problem with doing the play-in tournament is you let Carrington, you let in a lot
I know. I was just
mediocre product into the thing. The Bulls were 39-43 this year. They weren't a good basketball team, but you can do the play-in tournament, so those kind of teams get in. Next up on What's Trending, we'll play you some highlight stuff coming up at 12:30. But officially announced, Lee Corso is retiring from College Game Day after 38 years in the biz. Man's about to be 90 years old. He's retiring after 38 years of doing it. Lee Corso, all-time legend, hanging it up.
He'll be missed.
I mean, he is the person I think of
that entire show.
I was going to say, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. You put it better, but let's like, he's the person. If you say he made name Saturday a person mornings. On College Game Day, I'm thinking Lee Corso.
Yeah, absolute legend. But at the same time, it's more than time to move on, right? That's just the reality. Anybody that's watched that show, it's been a rough watch the last couple of years for him, right? I think it's incredible the relationship him and Kirk Herbstreit clearly have, and Kirk takes care of him, and it's honestly like really, really... at times even touching and emotional to see that connection. Mm-hmm. But from a TV product, it's been a little rough to watch for 4 or 5 years at least, just in terms of him. And look, guy's going to turn 90 in August. I mean, it's unbelievable run for Lee Corso. Unbelievable. Lastly, some news around the division in the AFC West. According to a report out of Las Vegas, the Raiders could look to trade quarterback Aiden O'Connell for a day 3 pick. Well, yeah, Geno Smith's their guy. They would be thrilled, I'm sure, to get anything for Aiden O'Connell at this point.
Yeah, I'd say so.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold.
Don't forget, May 3rd, Saturday, May 3rd, we're going to continue to remind you, the Cody and Gold road trip, the second version of the Cody and Gold road trip. Last time we did this for Bobby Wood Jr. Now we're going to go watch Cags. Not all the way to Fayetteville. If you've missed it, we're heading to Springfield, Missouri. We'll take on the Springfield Cardinals. Got a road game because the timing worked out for us. Saturday, May 3rd, game's at 6 o'clock. We're going to meet at Harbell's at 3:30 for those who just want to get a drink or who want to purchase our CAG shirts. They're available for $10. We're just trying to cover our cost. You want to know the truth? We can get you that link if you've already bought tickets. But if you want tickets, go to 96.5thefan.com. You can find out more information there. We already have, including the me, you, Drew, and Dusty from the morning shows coming. Over 80 people going down to Springfield to watch Jack Caglione play. 96.5 The Fan for more details. Really, really looking forward. A couple of other cool things as well, right? Somebody's going to get thrown the first pitch.
One of the one of our listeners going to have a chance throughout the first pitch at that game right there in front of everybody. Going to be a ton of fun.
We'll be rooting hard for you.
Yeah. The last time we did a road trip was for Bobby Wood Jr. So it's fitting we're doing it for Jack Caglione as well. We wanted to do this again. And so it's all come together and we appreciate everyone. We've had a great turnout already. We just announced this a couple days ago and we already have, as Cody said, over 80 people involved in the road trip. And make sure you get the CAG shirt if you want one of those. Just send us a text, 913-586-7965. If you're going on the road trip,
you have to pick it up in Springfield.
You have to pick them up in Springfield. This is for people on the road trip only. Let us know if you want to order a t-shirt and already have purchased tickets for the road trip. But yeah, man, I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun here in a couple weeks.
Do you think he's going to hit one of those really monster home runs while we're there? Last time we went to go see Bobby, we're like 0-4.
Yeah. I have no idea. I have no idea. He hasn't hit a home run in a couple days. Oh, no.
He's like 0 for his last 7 or 8.
He is human.
2 for his last 13 or something.
He is human.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is why you and I were pretty confident.
Dusty stopped updating the board. You notice that?
Cowards move. We're still going down to see him, you know?
Dusty's coming on the trip, too. But Caglione stats on the board, Dusty's been updating it, except he stopped after he
stopped
hitting home runs. Come on, Dusty.
How many games has he played now?
I don't know.
Much. Maybe he's just going to do it once a week. You know, it is a lot to update it every day. I actually give Dusty a pass.
Someone says, does Cags know we're coming? He will by the time we make this happen.
I mean, I don't know how to tell him. I don't have like his cell phone number.
Yeah, let me just text him real quick.
How would we like to inform Jack Caglione that we're all down to watch him play in Springfield?
I believe the Northwest Naturals have been informed.
Some of you might drive back. For those who don't, imagine we'll probably find a local watering hole after the game. Obviously, we told you we're meeting somewhere beforehand. Right now, Cags games, 11 games in. Gold, you ready?
Yeah.
He's hitting .244, .321 on base percentage, .489 slug. No shame in those numbers, but they're not like astronomical at just this moment. Still 3 home runs, 15 RBIs, and a couple of doubles.
Just making sure he stays there till after May 3rd. Perfect. Perfect.
A lot of people saying you got to keep an eye on Dusty for that Cags autograph. If I can get a Cags autograph for the garage sale, I will. Can we get him to autograph one of the Cags shirts?
You're not pushing over kids.
Well, someone on the text line said, make sure he doesn't push over kids to get one. Mm. Someone says to contact Cags, there's this thing called X. We just went through the Naturals. We'll we'll make sure he knows we're showing up. Does that mean anything necessarily? I don't know. I mean, Bobby Wood Jr., when we went to see him, they were aware we were there, but it didn't really
change a
whole lot.
He didn't like come out and like pound beers with us in the stands or anything, you know?
All you need is an acknowledgement. All you need is an acknowledgement.
I mean, like, look, with the amount of people that have signed up for the road trip already, and if people continue to get the shirts, and where everybody's wearing CAG shirts, it will be hard to miss. So anyway, hope you guys will join us in Springfield in a couple Saturdays for our CAGs Cody and Gold road trip. Thinking of the Royals, let's talk about the big league club. They have some roster decisions to make it. And I'm not even talking about the decisions on Renfro and Melendez directly, but there is just numbers game that's going to come to play. Yep. Mark Canna is scheduled to be eligible at least from the IL. Now, could they do a rehab assignment thing or extend that out or something? Sure, I guess. But Mark Canna is scheduled, I think, Saturday to be eligible. You would think they will recall him from his injury rehab, or at least his injury time on the injured list. So, okay, there's one potential move that has to happen. I also wonder, Tyler Tolbert, who's been really effective on the base pass. Well, right now you're really not getting on base. Do you need two guys off the bench that can pinch run? Do you need to bring up a bat? Do you say, hey, it's nothing you've done wrong. You've been a weapon for us, but we got to get another bat off the bench. And Tolbert's not a bat. He's speed. So is that where there's a move and John Rave gets called up, Cody, from AAA? But it's not necessarily that they're sending down Melendez or DFAing Hunter Renfro, but that's the corresponding move. Because if they're going to bring up Mark Canna, what's the move? Is it going to be an outfield move for an outfield move? Is it going to be that they just send down Tolbert and that's the quick fix for it?
I mean, first, Tolbert's kind of the obvious one. And this is not meant to be a knock on him. He has actually been a better consistent base stealer than Dyron Blanco. And Blanco's been near automatic. But they trust, and you and I both know this, they trust Blanco to play more, like to just play in the outfield more. And based on the fact that MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfro still aren't hitting, I mean, at least you get speed, right? So you're taking at least some kind of element into the game that you don't have right now. So like, that's the first one. I will say, based on the way he was hitting before he got his injury running into the wall, he was hitting better than any other person in the lineup besides Bobby Wood Jr. and Michael Garcia. So he needs to...
Canna's coming back, yeah. Yeah,
he immediately needs to be in the lineup. That leaves two, and I mentioned Tolbert for one. I'm guessing it's just Waters. Look, had he come
multiple
up...
Multiple errors in the field.
Had he come up... Like, as much as I would say, take the chance now and let's see where it gets you, if Waters had come up and gone 6-for-15, man, we're probably having a different conversation. But he looked like every other bat in the lineup. And you don't have to upset the apple cart by just calling up Waters. They do have a couple of decisions, like you pointed out. But my guess is because it's April 17th, they'll do the layup decisions, which is Waters and Tolbert, you weren't here before. Oh. And just, you know, hot chain, trade them out and just be like, well, it's all about the same. You had mentioned that this is a huge series. That you and I both agreed that they really need to go 2-2.
Bare minimum split.
Bare minimum split against the Detroit Tigers. If they lose tonight,
oh boy,
it's time for a fight. Okay? And I know.
A fight?
Fight. It's time for a fight.
You want some fire.
Dust up. Yeah. It's time to start a dust up. Pluck a guy. Yeah. Start a little scramble. Talk some trash. You need some energy back in however you got to get it. It's time for a fight.
It's
I am calling on Vinny Pasquantino to start a fight tomorrow if they lose tonight.
I think I know.
Lose tonight, it's fight time.
It's way more likely that Q just finally has enough with a bad call from an ump and he gets tossed than it is you actually seeing
too.
A fight. I think I could see
that too,
Q but. Could get tossed if they drop one or two. But they're also not. They've lost three in a row. How many times did they lose three in a row last year? Do we know?
Not very often.
I know,
a couple of times, but not very often.
The point is, like, it was going to happen. It's just the problem is it's happening on April 17th.
You want to fight bad enough, Cody? I feel like this is going to be our first song of the season with like a punk rock Cody just screaming at the top of his lungs that Cody wants to
screamo
fight.
Song. Oh
yeah,
god,
so dude, screamo song.
I think that's where we're going. I think that's where we're going.
About what? Just offense?
I spent a lot of time in a mosh pit in my youth, Drew. I'm prepared for this moment.
Cody wants a fight. He needs Vinny to swing on. That's what the song's going to be about. Cody wants a fight.
Man, okay. So I need some song suggestions. I'm not guaranteeing I'll do this, but I will say I want to choose it from my first ever concert, which included Korn, Limp Bizkit. Bizkit, a song from one of these artists. Korn, Limp Bizkit, Rammstein, or Ice Cube? Those are really your choices.
The offense is obviously the biggest issue with this baseball team right now. Nobody's denying that. What's the fight gonna, what's that do?
I just think that, like, right now, you need something to, you need to think
like throwing a punch is going to activate the offense.
What it does is it has you thinking about fighting and not thinking about hitting. Okay. You want to put it pretty simple?
All right.
You're thinking about something else.
All right.
You're not thinking about swinging and missing or hitting a line drive to another player. You're thinking about fighting their ass. That's what it is. It's just thinking about something else. I'm looking for a chance. Look, they win tonight, I'll call off the dogs, right? I'm not asking for a fight.
So they're a loss away from a fight in your mind.
They're one loss away from a fight.
Okay. Look, I think the frustration level from the fans is very, very high. And clearly the frustration level has to be getting there with this entire offense. Because it's not just, it really, other than Bobby and maybe Mikel, this is an offensive-wide problem. And that's why, despite Melendez and Renfroe being in the crosshairs and getting all the attention and get rid of them, yada, 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 and that they're not performing well, no kidding. The bigger problem are the fact that Vinny and Salvi and India and Massey are not hitting. That's the biggest issue. Those were the guys that were always going to lead to success. It was never going to be like, oh, Vinny, Salvi, and India and Massey weren't going to hit, but Renfroe and Melendez were going to carry this offense, guys. No. It was never going to be that. The problem is nobody's hitting. But the main four or five guys that have to hit for this team not to be a below 500 baseball team, which they are currently, They're not hitting. That's the biggest issue with this team. It's not the guys that everybody's been talking about.
I mean, certainly not the pitching staff. They've been gangbusters. Yeah. And I understand, like, the one run. You watch Schreiber give up a tank to Aaron Judge. Lots of people give up home runs to Aaron Judge. It turns out he's hit a lot of them over the last couple of years. And inevitably, you and I feel the same way. That's not the problem. The problem is not that in the last three games, they gave up four runs in each of the games. That's it. They only gave up four runs to one of the league's best offenses in Major League Baseball each of the last three games and lost all three games. That's at bare minimum supposed to be at least one win. One, man. I'm not saying it's like three wins or two wins, but it should be at least one win if you hold them to four runs each of the three games. The problem is the top of the order. The problem is India's cooled off, and maybe he's just not, like, he had the little injury thing. Maybe he's just not, they just started putting him back in the field. Maybe he's not right. Vinny, maybe it's the bat speed thing. I don't know what all the problems are for each individual.
It's all happening at once. I'll tell you that. It's all happening at once out of the gate in 2025. It's led to this offense.
The truth is, we should be thanking every day. Thank God for the pitching, or this would be a 5-win baseball team. Like,
sure.
Thank you for pitching as well as you are, because otherwise we would be in full panic over what we were looking at from the Royals. And versus this, I can be like, okay, pitching's good. Can India and Vinny and Massey and Salvi all have one hit tonight? Because I'll be honest, I think they probably win a baseball game tonight if those guys all have at least one hit.
Yeah.
Like, each guy gets their own, right? And then Bobby, I'm not even conversation.
The last two nights, they've actually jumped out and got the lead first. The last two nights. This hasn't been a scenario where, like, oh, because the pitching's been so great, where, oh, you've dug yourself a hole and it seems insurmountable after giving up two runs in the first two innings. No, what's happened, they've gotten the early lead, then the pitching has still been pretty darn good, and anytime an opponent gets to four runs, the game's over. If they get to four runs tonight, you think the game's over.
That's
the offense, they have not won, right? Have they won a game when an opponent scores four runs? Maybe one?
I don't know. Somebody gave us the stats. I think the Tigers have scored four runs, or at least four runs, in 68% of their games.
And they've lost two in a row.
So I don't know if that stat makes you feel any better. What's funny is, like, if they won three out of four, you realize they'd just be tied with the Tigers, essentially?
Of course. Things change quickly in baseball.
It's just like,
very quickly.
I'm not
quickly
saying they
on the positive
four,
end.
But, like,
that's why it's a big series, Cody. Right? You're right. Like, it can it's a big series because it can change so quickly on the positive end, but also if they lose three out of four to the Tigers, we're coming back on Monday talking about this team coming off a road trip in which they went 2-8.
The only way to salvage the entire road trip is to win three or four out of the four games. But I'll take, now I'm looking at individual series. And for this series, you and I are with each other. 2-2. Time to stabilize a little bit. You and I are still not panicking. I'm not in panicking mode, nothing like that. Let's get 2-2. Let's right the ship a little bit, score some runs, feel a little bit better about yourself. And then everything can just kind of breathe a little.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll talk more about Lee Corso's decision to retire from game day and some of the best moments throughout his time. And obviously some of the all three locals have been featured on that show over the last 38 years as well. And we'll get a random question of the day. But thinking of the locals, I want to give some props actually to Missouri basketball what they're doing.
Did you feel dirty saying that sentence?
Cody gave me
I want to give some props.
Cody gave me a weird
to Missouri
look.
Basketball. Cody like, gave do you me feel okay?
Cody gave me a weird look. I think I'm actually getting a headache. And
Props to Missouri.
Wait, actually some chills and like cold sweats as I said it. Woo. They are doing something that is happening throughout college basketball, collegiate sports, but it looks like they will be, as far as I can tell, the first of the three locals to do it. That is a report out of PowerMizzou.com, which is that they're going to hire a general manager for their basketball program. This is the first local. I know KU wants to do it. I tried to do some research. I don't believe K-State has one for college basketball. And this is something that's happening across collegiate sports because of NIL. And you need someone that can manage kind of the NIL portion of it, help with fundraising, have ties to your team. Now, I don't know who Missouri is going to hire. They haven't announced that yet. You know, a former basketball player from the university would make a ton of sense, right? But this is very smart for Dennis Gates and the Missouri Tigers. And I hope Kansas does it as well. I think that's part of their issue right now. I think Kansas State clearly should do it as well. This will be commonplace and no big deal in like 5 years or 3 years. But Missouri is the first one that's looking at it. Yeah.
I guess part of it is what's funny to me is this is like the first team I feel like it, Drew, you follow college sports more closely, so you can correct me if I'm just like I'm not looking at it close enough. This is the first time I watched someone post this like it's on Indeed. Doesn't everyone else just kind of like announce it?
Yeah.
Hasn't every other university just been like, it's this dude who used to play for us or
yes.
this dude?
Well, I think what happened normally,
they just posted it like it's a job Drew can apply for.
Yeah,
wait a second.
I believe the context, though, wasn't it that like Dennis Gates was asked about it and he said, this is something we're looking at doing. It's kind of, I believe that was the context of it. But yes, normally.
Because Carrington's going to be all over it.
He's going to be the GM of Missouri basketball.
I think this is.
He should apply, honestly. That'd be a great. At the very least, a great radio bit. Carrington should apply and see if he can get an interview.
To your point, Gold, I think that, you know, KU doing this, in terms of it helping out your head coach, where, I mean, Jerome Tang the exact same way, but it seems like Jerome Tang is very much more involved. I know Bill Self is too with the NIL stuff and all of it, but it would relieve Bill Self of some, not worry, but of some stress of trying to deal with all of the ins and outs of the program, where if you bring somebody in, whoever it may be, to Kansas, and it's a guy that Bill Self trusts. Hey, I need some help in regards to building up this roster. I want to focus on the coaching part, and that's what I want, but I need you to help me assist me in landing players. It should be easier because it's KU, but being able to do that, not that it extends Bill Life's coaching life in a way, but I think it makes it easier for him to deal with, okay, this is who I have coming in. I know how I'm going to run my system. Come and do the go out and get a kid like this for me. Don't worry about me being involved in that process. It makes it easier.
They're typically bigger names too that in these roles. I mean, we've talked about Stanford on the football end. Obviously, it's Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. There's some that are more, I think, ceremonial than actual job. Like
Max Crosby.
Like Max Crosby is the assistant GM at his alma mater. He's still playing in the NFL. He's obviously not going to be in the day to day.
No, just glad hands, shake some hands.
Yeah, Trey Young. Like I could see, you know, if you're Kansas, you know, Frank Mason type guy, Missouri. I don't know, Damari Carroll or hey, our guy Jared Sutton. How about let's make a pitch for him? You know, stuff like that. I mean, I'm serious. Yeah. Like those are the type of people
really
I think
connected,
that would be
scout.
Yeah. Somebody who played, they're invested in the school, the program, and they have time.
I just felt like the other people had mostly just been doing the, like, we just tell you who the person is. This is not like an open job. Now, look, it's a public university. Maybe the other ones I've seen come up didn't have the same hiring practices.
Yeah.
I imagine at a public university, you technically have to.
Well, yeah, so we always joke when when a coach gets let go, a football job technically is listed and people
can't apply.
You know, jokingly apply or whatever. Someone says KU Lance on the text line, said they could bring in someone like Jock Vaughn. These are all,
Kansas,
these are all type of names.
Easy, easy. But yeah, I think from the Missouri, and they got plenty of reliable players. I think the going with the current NBA guy is actually the better model because it's a part-time gig anyway.
You got to have somebody
it's
else.
It's hard for Missouri.
You got to have somebody else.
Maybe it's a couple. Maybe because in Max Crosby, he's the assistant GM. Yeah. So you pair it up. Look, Andrew Luck just took the job and he's really doing the job.
He retired from football years ago.
That's a little bit he's doing the job in a way different than I think some of these other general managers these teams are looking at are doing. So just a slightly different angle.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk more about Lee Corso announcing his retirement, and we'll get to the random question of the day right here.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1.
handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Cody and Gold. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to the random question of the day. We're also 25 minutes away from having our guy Nate Taylor from The Athletic join us in studio. He was on that media call this morning that you heard from Brett Veach talking about the draft. We'll see what stood out to Nate. If you got a little insight from that, we'll talk more about the draft as a whole with Nate Taylor coming up in just a bit. You guys can interact with us as always on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. We mentioned it during What's Trending. Lee Corso was announced today, longtime face, voice of College Game Day, is going to retire after 38 years. His final episode, his final live Game Day show is going to be in week one of this upcoming college football season. He turns 90 in August.
That's crazy to do media that long in general. 38 years in general is kind of crazy.
They haven't announced the game either, but in all likelihood, it's Texas at Ohio State in week one, which is where he started, ironically.
Beautiful.
So you bookend with the Buckeyes.
Yeah, he's in that category of all-time legends in a sport, like the face of the sport, helped grow the sport. Like you mentioned, Drew, earlier, like him, Dick Vitale, there's others that you give them credit for just being great ambassadors of the game, in this case, college football. You put together a little montage because he's had so many unbelievable moments on air, and here's a couple of them.
All right, good pick. I can tell you one thing. Buckeyes!
Boom!
Let me tell you something. Ever since I've been in this town, everybody says to me, Corso, you're stupid. You always pick the wrong team. Pick Auburn to lose. Okay? Auburn loses. You want it? You want it? You got it. Willie the Wildcat. Go Kansas State.
Forget it. You, what do you mean?
No.
All right, yeah. Bye, Lord.
The Purple Cows.
Purple Cows. Oh, Purple Cows.
I would live in Athens if I didn't live in Orlando.
Would you?
I would have gone to Georgia if I didn't go to Florida State. But that dog is ugly. Give me this thing here. That's an ugly dog.
Not so fast, my friend. Not so fast. Not so fast, my friends. Not so fast, my friend. Not so fast, my friend. Not so fast. How can you pick against SMU?
How could you give that any credence?
Let me tell you something. Well,
there's a bunch of claimed.
These people don't give
You guys, just listening, you can probably picture a lot of those memories, those moments. Lee Corso going to retire after 38 seasons. And yeah, look, it's time. You know, anybody that's watched it the last couple of years, he's obviously, yeah. I mean, he's 90 years old. He's about to be 90 years old. Obviously, is not as sharp as he once was. But I think Kirk Herbstreit, the way he, if you guys have followed his social media, the way his relationship and the way he's basically.
He treats him like a grandfather. He protects him
along. Yeah, he's definitely, he protects him on air in moments, you know, that could be really embarrassing for Corso or look really, you know, he tries to basically kind of talk him through. That's why he obviously needs to retire, but the moments on air were pretty special over the years and even recently with the way Kirk Herbstreit has kind of handled it.
Yeah, it's like, you could hang up on the like, yeah, at least 5 years probably,
yeah.
You know, but. Instead, you know, like it's easier, like on a day like this, be like, damn, what a run. Mm-hmm. And the way I view Corso is really important because he came around at a time in which people didn't think of media quite the same way. And he understands that his job is to keep you entertained. He is an entertainer, right? And so he did that better than anyone else in the college football scene and anybody on that show. I'm not even saying like Reese Davis or Kirk Herbstreit or some of these other guys who've been a part of this. But like he's the entertainer. Like they're going to be missing something and have been missing something since he hasn't been quite the same. And obviously they've reduced his amount of time on air and kind of were careful with it. And it's always a difficult thing because it's, we all agree when somebody has done it that long, they kind of deserve the chance to go out on their own, but also like to what extent. And like you said, you don't want to like have them embarrass themselves or, you know, run into a problem with that. I don't know. He's an all timer. He is probably the first broadcaster I think of at all, if you ask me, college, like the first, like if you say college football, I think Lee Corso first.
He made
as far
it,
as like broadcasters go. Not
yeah, no, I got you. Yeah,
he made it worth watching, you know, Saturday mornings, and even, you know, it was a big deal if game day was coming to town, just because obviously you're the game of the week and everything. But knowing that you could see Corso make the headgear pick, it just made it that much more special to be able to. I mean, even if I didn't watch all the game day, I knew that Eastern time, 11:45, I had to get to my TV because they were making the picks, and I wanted to see Corso put on the headgear.
Vital for college basketball, Corso for college football, the two unbelievable ambassadors, and someone said, is he already retired? Technically not. Corso will retire in August for that one game, so he's going to retire.
He's going to retire, and he didn't give us 15 years notice like Is that Nance? Who was it that said?
Nance was asked. Yeah, Nance was just asked about like how he would like to go out and basically had a whole script already figured out.
Yeah. Obviously, he wasn't like making his announcement. Yeah. He was responding. It was funny.
Someone says all-timer, but McAfee's ready to fill the spot. I mean, clearly for the last couple of years, they've brought McAfee on and he is the goofier.
He's their plan for the entertainer.
Yeah, for sure. And he's been great at it. Everybody has their opinion about McAfee, but he's been great
still
on college
not the same,
game day.
But yeah.
He's been terrific. Thinking of Pat McAfee, do you see who he's interviewing right now? Guess who called in?
Oh, I did see.
Aaron Rodgers called in and said on the Pat McAfee show.
Oh, he finally announced he's going to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, he is not.
So he announced his retirement.
No, he hasn't announced that.
It is April 17th, after all.
He hasn't. He said, quote, I told every, he was talking about teams that he talked to. This is Pat McAfee show from Aaron Rodgers. I told every single one of the teams, it ain't about the money. I said, I'll play for $10 million, whatever.
By the way, the league minimum, I want to be clear, the league minimum is less than $10 million. So it's about the money a little.
That's nitpicking. He was just throwing out. That's just nitpicking.
Right.
He just threw out a number. It's an even number. Right. He said, quote, I'm open to anything and attached to nothing. Retirement could still be a possibility. Focus on personal life. So he hasn't made up his mind. Nothing has really changed. It's still a waiting game. That's where things stand. I'm convinced. So this is a week out from the draft. Part of me is convinced that next Thursday, on the day of the draft, he'll make a decision, so then the story will be all about him on draft day. But I could be wrong.
I mean, doesn't he have to? Like, are the Steelers really okay with going into an NFL draft not knowing whether or not they have a starting quarterback for this year?
They believe that he's going to ultimately choose them.
For real?
But there's more and more thinking that they're going to either draft, if Sanders falls, or they'll draft Jackson Dart, and that'll be their backup plan. Otherwise, Mason Rudolph probably start in week one. Yeah.
I see. I'm looking at the clips now. He also said he didn't hold anyone hostage and he wasn't holding out for Minnesota. And I just like, I don't believe that.
I'll say in fairness to him though, and it's not often that I defend Aaron Rodgers, but
no, it's pretty rare.
Now you're defending Aaron Rodgers.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know what's going on. I guess they're breaking out into sweat this hour. I'm not sure what is going on.
Would you like some food you don't like? You want to get like in a groove here a little bit?
I don't know what's going on, but I'll defend him on this is, I don't actually think he's holding anybody hostage. At some point in time, the Steelers, you got to run your damn organization. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, you run your organization. He has no ties to your organization. You cannot let him hold you hostage. You needed to go and pivot earlier or still draft a quarterback. So actually, that's more on the Steelers. I actually don't think it's on Rodgers. It's different than if Rodgers was under contract still with a team. And then it's like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, that's different. That's holding a team hostage. He's not under contract for the Steelers. You know, they have to roll the dice on what their belief is. I actually don't put that one on him, but I'm convinced he wants to be the center of attention, obviously, and so it wouldn't surprise me if he does something on draft day.
I do think that the Vikings thing is just, maybe it's not the way he's purporting it, but I mean, it made sense, too. I don't even blame him for this. The Vikings were clearly his top choice, and now he's wrestling between the, like, he knew if he went to Minnesota, dream scenario, right? Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones, a great offensive coach. Like it was tailor-made to win then, right now, this second. He knows if he goes to the Steelers, he's like, it probably works. Pickens and Metcalf and, you know, TJ Watt, like it probably works. But he's not as sure that it works. That's why I think he's wrestling with retirement. He doesn't want to go out there and embarrass himself again. He spent the last 2 years of a Hall of Fame career. I still think he'll get in the Hall of Fame.
Of course.
Yeah. But he spent the last 2 years of a Hall of Fame career doing nothing, being meaningless from a football perspective. I don't think he wants to roll out a 40-year-old body into nothing again. I think he wants to do it with an actual chance to win a Super Bowl.
But if you're him,
he should take league minimum, by the way.
If you're him, you saw Russell Wilson have success there a year ago in Pittsburgh. Yeah. And so you're telling me that you can't even have that level of success anymore? I think he can, by the way. But we've discussed this over and over, whether it's Rodgers, whether it's Jackson Dart, whether it's Mason Rudolph, whether it's trading for Kirk Cousins, they're not a Super Bowl contender. And in this city, in terms of how we talk about teams, that's all that matters.
Yeah. I think he could talk himself into it with Pittsburgh, but I wouldn't think they are.
Like, playoff team, sure. I mean, Mike Tomlin's a playoff team every year. But being in the grouping of Kansas City or Buffalo or Baltimore or maybe even Cincinnati, no.
I wonder how much he actually is weighing the potential of the Vikings. Because as much as he didn't, it seemed like him and Brett Favre just did not mesh very well. For him to have the exact same career path, I don't know if that would actually be something that bothers him.
Again, all you got to do is get the welfare fraud and some indecent pictures and you're square.
Well, hopefully he doesn't go that route.
He's not going to go to Minnesota, so we won't follow the exact path.
Correct.
I think ESPN, Netflix, one of them, I can't remember who, is putting out a documentary on Brett Favre's welfare situation.
Really?
Well, was it Netflix? It might have been.
I think it was Netflix.
What's it called?
It actually was an interesting name. I think it was related to the fraud.
I mean, something about Mississippi State. I don't remember. I think it was about the fraud, not about the. It was more about that.
Netflix released an new tell-all documentary. Oh, it's okay. It's called The Fall of Favre.
No,
but it's going to tell the story of Favre's pursuit of Jen Sturger and his involvement in the welfare case. Like, I don't even know if it's going to be about football. Evidently,
I know we're kind of maxed out on sports docs, but this one might drag me in.
It's not even about sports. It sounds like it's more about it's just the athlete profile is sports related.
Yeah, it's just it intrigues me enough to be curious. Let's get to a random question.
Random question.
If I can find it in my hotkey list. I'm sorry.
Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week, then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. So for you, Drew, for you, Gold, over in the text line 913-586-7965, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, always let you know. Live stream the show. If you don't want to miss it, subscribe on YouTube. Makes it easy. Pops up at the top of your page. That way you can see our smiling faces on video today. It's like 80 degrees outside. You and I are...
It was raining this morning. It was chillier this morning. But now it's hot, I think.
Yeah. Do you got a shirt on underneath?
I don't. I'm a little warm walking in the car.
A little hot getting in the car. You have to crank the AC. But probably. The question I have for you today is a classic yes or no in the interest level department on one food item. This is not one meant to get you in trouble. Oh. This is a product that announced yesterday, a new product from the people over at Pringles.
Oh, I did see this.
Pringles has announced a limited time summer snack that is Pringles flavored like Miller Lite. So the classic chip, but flavored like Miller Lite. They also have ones flavored like chicken and sausages and some other summer-like flavors. But the Miller Lite one was the one that stood out the most, I'll say, in general. So the question is, yay or nay? Are you interested in a Miller Lite flavored potato chip?
No, not really. Like, I'm intrigued to try it, I'll be honest, but...
Kind of curious what it tastes like?
Yeah, but, like, if it tastes just like... I mean, Miller Lite, like, it's a light beer, right? So, like, what's the flavor... How heavy of a flavor profile are we getting here? How much different than the... So you have the original Pringle, which is great, but then now we're going to have a Miller Lite... Like, is it just... What's it tasting like? I don't know. Do I want to eat a whole can of Miller Lite flavored Pringles? I don't think so.
Should we get a can for fan club?
Yes.
You said yes so fast.
I want to try it.
Should we get a can? I mean, I don't know if they're out yet. I didn't check the exact date on it. But, I mean, you know, like if we're going to try weirdo foods, it feels like the fan club is sometimes a good time for that.
This is absolutely no for me.
You don't like beer in general.
No chance.
What if it was like a, what if it was flavored like a Mike's Hard... You know, then are you interested?
I don't think it's going to taste good. Correct. I even if it was Mike's Hard or Angry Orchard, I would say no because I don't need to eat something that I drink. I think it would just be weird.
Would you try the sausage ones, Drew?
I think that no.
Do you like the sausage ones?
No, I think the chicken one would be interesting. Actually, believe it or not, somebody from the 816 made me laugh. Said I'm going to go ahead and pass. There's better ways to get diarrhea.
Where are you guys at on Pringles in general?
Oh, I like a Pringle.
It's like a,
I'll be honest.
It's like a C-level chip, but I'm not offended by it, right? I will eat a Pringle, but it is by no means.
Because there's some that are, there's other ones that are
like,
you know
what's weird, though? So we know the Pringles, like, very light, and it you know, sometimes the cans will all be, they'll all break apart very easily. I know this is not popular. You know what's better? The Lay's Stacks. It's a thicker chip.
Agreed.
The Lay's Stacks are better. It's a thicker chip.
I've never had a Lay's Stack.
It's the same type of style chip. But they're thicker. They don't, 20 of them don't crumble in the bottom of the can.
Yes. Okay, interesting. So the Lay Stack, you're saying, is better than even a regular Pringle.
And I like Pringles, but they break up too easy. They're very thin. The Lay Stack has a little more crunch to it.
My issue is, like, anymore, it's like, I like a chip that's weight, like, you mentioned that. I want to go as, I want, like, kettle chip quality of thickness.
I like kettle chip. Yeah, I like a good kettle
chip. Right? Like, so, like, a Pringle, it's like the wispiest chip imaginable.
So you don't want a kettle chip Pringle.
I mean, I don't think they sell that. Pringles, the whole thing is the can, dude.
Well, I understand that, but I'm sure you could make a kettle-like texture made in Pringle form.
Can we admit that, like, Pringles in general, the idea that they've been able to maintain a successful company while having the worst packaging for consuming their product known to man is kind of
what they're known for. They can't
Doesn't even fit in there. You got to pour them out.
But that's their brand.
Dust rolls everywhere.
That's their brand.
Pringles, how have we not been turned off by this terrible packaging?
It's part of their brand. Pringles can't. If all of a sudden Pringles were in a regular bag of chips, one, they'd all be crumpled. There'd be nothing left by the time you got it. But also that'd be terrible.
Dust. Yeah, it just wouldn't work at all.
You're saying they need like a dispenser.
To Alex's point, they probably can't change it because that's their branding. They're the only chip that comes in that kind of container. Now they do the little mini ones. Lots of people do that. But like the tube, that's a Pringle. Unless you're going to Aldi and you're getting the Clancy's version or whatever.
People are asking if the Miller Lite Pringles have alcohol in them. No.
I think somebody cooked that out.
It's the flavoring.
Just some dude in a lab trying to figure out how to make beer flavor out of a different chemical compound, I'm sure.
You guys have had the pizza Pringles, I'm guessing?
I haven't had a pizza Pringle in 25 years.
I haven't had one in a long time either, but if I remember right, those are the ones that were very good.
If I'm eating a Pringle, just get me the original or the sour cream and onion. I'm not really looking
We sell the original ones get in here and the ranch ones maybe or something in the little bullpen cafeteria thing we have over there.
Salt and vinegar chips are... good with me. I'd like them more than sour cream and
the
onion.
Sea salt chips. Yes, salt the vinegar part. I'm good. The sea salt kettle chips.
Yeah,
very good.
I like. I mean, again, not against lots of different. But I can't believe they've been a successful company with the worst packaging on the planet.
As someone points out, it's great for road trips. Fits right in the cup holder. easy.
That has to be why they designed it that way.
But you're just getting crumbs in the car, dude. Because by the time you get to the end of that can, it's not so great for the road trip anymore. You're essentially just pouring it into your chest. You know how many times you try to get like a few more Pringles out of the bottom third of that can and you wish for death?
Yeah, but you can tilt it. They slide back down.
And then it's a party size. It's twice the size.
They slide down on the rest of the tube.
I agree with everything that you're saying, Cody, but it doesn't prohibit me from getting Pringles still.
It doesn't stop you.
I like Pringles enough to where if I'm feeling a Pringle, I'm going to get a Pringle.
That's fair. I do like the cheese ones. Okay, so I'm going to mention that that's atop the Pringle power
rankings. They just have generic
rankings.
Cheese ones?
Oh, I haven't had that.
Like I like a cheesy chip anyway, right? Like a Harvest Cheddar Sun Chip, I'm not against, right?
Not a big Sun Chip.
So somebody said the Sun Chips are the most overrated chip on the text line a couple minutes ago.
Again, I didn't call it an S-tier chip. Let's relax a little. If we want to go down to our, if we're doing an official chip power ranking, we can have a very different conversation. You know, like that's, I know for Gold, it's Lay's and Tostitos are two of his.
Tostitos are great.
Tostitos. We can do our Mount Rushmore of chips tomorrow if you guys want one.
Or dare I say draft our favorite chips.
Oh, gosh. Actually, that might be
a good idea. I mean, at least we're doing,
you
know what? We'll draft our favorite chips tomorrow. Tell Rob Collins. You know?
Let's go.
We will draft our favorite chips at 1 o'clock hour tomorrow.
Gold's not even going to have any competition. He's just going to be taken. And Rob Collins might not have eaten a chip since the 80s. Like, he's very particular about what he puts into his body, dude.
I know, but
very particular.
There's healthy chips.
He's pretty much just meat and vegetables.
There can be some healthy chips, though. But yeah, no wasted carbs for Rob Collins. That's true.
Guy's ripped. I don't know what to say.
Where do we stand on pretzels?
Dots are very high on the list.
I gotta be in the mood for. I gotta not have had it for a while.
Am I allowed to include a big soft pretzel because that would also be on my power rankings of all pretzels?
I think we're talking more the hard pretzels.
I'll just be honest. I think a pretzel stick might be better than the regular pretzels than just like a rolled gold pretzel.
Do you like the
rods or the mini stick?
I like the sticks. You gotta be careful. He couldn't even start. he realized how he was putting that sentence for a second.
I did.
And I was starting to laugh before he even got it out.
Say that again, Drew.
No.
Someone wanted to know, though, like, do you like the ones with the cheese on it? Which, like, what type of cheeses?
Cheddar, mozzarella, Havarti, cream cheese, Colby Jack. Did I say Gruyere? Blue, Swiss. Can I mention one other before I know we need to get to break?
Other cheeses?
No other cheeses.
Oh, I thought you named
them. There's one other chip that I'm really fascinated by and I'm curious if people are consuming. I see them in our like kitchen area.
Okay.
And we're all like adults in our 40s or 50s or whatever, right? And I have never, since high school, I would say, I've never seen someone actually consume a Funyun.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a popular chip? Are you all eating these Funyuns?
My guess is
Funyuns.
Okay, so your wife. I'm just curious. This is not like meant to be like criticism. I'm just
okay.
I'm not familiar with people
I
who
feel
enjoy
like
the
hot Funyuns. Like the hot Funyuns.
Okay, because I feel like the Funyuns strike me as definitely the food that if they just had a vending machine outside of a dispensary in Missouri of Funyuns only, that thing would sell out all the time. That's what it strikes. Funyuns seems like a snack when you're on an edible or two.
The rods or the
Funyuns.
The mini.
I like the
mini sticks. Okay. That's what I, you know, there are different sizes.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, there sure are.
There are, Drew. There are a lot of different sizes.
And shapes, you know?
Okay.
That's the random question of the day. Thank you. Thank you for that. Someone says, can Cody name chips like you can name cheeses? Put 30 seconds on the clock.
No, I don't want to do this again.
No?
Oh, that clip will live forever, just like cheese one.
That's right.
That was a really sad listing of cheeses now that I think about it. I should have been able to list 15 more.
Pressure was on. The clock was ticking.
Once you start hearing that sound, man, it's tough.
Yeah, people get nervous. You know? The answer, but sometimes you just can't think of it.
I'll be honest. I didn't even realize there were other kinds of Funyuns. I didn't even know there were hot ones or spicy.
Is it like Doritos? Just Doritos Ranch, Funyuns, blank?
Yeah. Like the hot Cheeto.
Yeah, I've only seen the regular Funyuns or the Flamin' Hot ones.
I actually don't know if I've ever had a Funyun in my life. Ever.
I have, but it's been like probably high school.
What do they taste like? What flavor? Like what are we talking about?
They're like onion. It's like sour cream and onion,
onion and chips.
It's
I'm good. Like, Let me go brush my teeth immediately. Gross.
I mean, that's definitely gross. True.
I'm good. I'm not having a bag of chips full of onions. Thank you very much.
Not that. I'm it's good. More like Thank a like you. A sour onion, yeah, you know, like I'm a good. Sour cream and onion.
Appreciate I appreciate mean, it.
Even getting a sour cream and onion chip, you feel like you have to brush your teeth afterwards, whether it's a Lay's chip, whether it's a Pringle or whatever.
I guess that's true. All right, up next, we'll talk some chips with Nate Taylor. We'll also talk about the draft. Turns out that's what we should really talk about with Nate Taylor next.